coming up on today's show.
And he got right in my face, and he stuck his finger in my chest and told me that I was soft, both mentally and physically. I had no idea what hard work was, and it was going to change right then and there.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, do please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Even though the Major League Baseball regular season is about to start, and that's where you hear about something like this, quote-unquote, more often, there was a game in the NBA last week that a protest was going to be filed for. There was a lot of confusion around a possession situation in the Dallas Mavericks-Golden State Warriors game between the officials and the players on the court, and so owner Mark Cuban was filing a protest with the NBA. As spring training has been going along, there has been a lot of confusion about the major rule changes that MLB is implementing, with things like the pitch clock, restrictions on pickoff attempts, where the infielders can and can't be positioned. It's almost surprising how many examples we can all think of regarding moments of confusion in sports. We are best served to seek peace in all situations, whether sports-related or otherwise. The New Testament is clear that our Father in heaven is the way to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we read in verses 32 and 33, "Indeed, the spirits of prophets are under the prophet's control, since he is not the God of disorder, but of peace." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was drafted in the first round, 12th overall, by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and went on to play 10 seasons in the NBA, playing for Washington, Seattle, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Houston, Atlanta, and the New York Knicks. He had been on the NIT champion University of Michigan basketball team and was named the NIT MVP. Earlier, he had been a McDonald's All-American. In addition to being a longtime color analyst on ESPN, he has worked as a consultant with NBA players over the last two decades, teaching strategies to improve performance and achieve greatness. He also runs the NBA Players Association's Top 100 Basketball Camp for the elite 100 high school players in the nation. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Tim McCormick.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Good, Tim. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I believe that you came full circle. Am I right, meaning that despite all the moving around when you were in the NBA, you live today in the same state where you were born and raised? Tell the audience where that is, as well as what the family size was that you grew up in.
Sure. So I grew up on the east side of Detroit, and my parents are wonderful people. They're still doing exceptionally well. And I have currently two brothers and a sister. I'm the oldest. We lived in Detroit, Grosse Pointe Park, and then we moved to Clarkston, where I attended high school, and my parents are still in Clarkston. Mm. I currently live in West Bloomfield, Michigan, which is about 30 minutes away.
Wow.
So I love it here, and very, very blessed to be in Michigan.
And talk about the Catholic school you attended, as well as trying to get into a couple of others and how that went.
Well, so I grew up and went to school at Guardian Angels, which is a Catholic school in Detroit. And each time we moved, my parents prioritized getting us into a Catholic school. We tried to get into St. Clair of Montefalco in Detroit. It was close to the border of Detroit. It was in Grosse Pointe Park. And when we arrived, they said that the school was full. There was no room for us. So we went to public school and just attended catechism. And then when we moved to Clarkston, we tried to get into Our Lady of the Lakes in Waterford, which is one town over. And they said, "We're full. Sorry about that." So we enrolled in Clarkston schools. Shortly thereafter, we had basketball tryouts, and they saw how big I was and that I was a pretty good player. They found a spot, but we had already started classes, and so we stayed in Clarkston.
Gotcha, gotcha. Was basketball, by the way, the first sport, and was it the only sport that you played as a young boy? And for that matter, how did you get started into that as opposed to, say, baseball or track or some other sport?
Well, I played baseball when I was in third grade. That was my first official sport. And then in the fall, I played football.
Ah.
And I really liked both of those sports. And then in fourth grade, I was on my first basketball team. And that's where my passion really took off. I loved basketball. It resonated with me. I practiced every day. And actually, my dad helped me create a game plan that I did every day. And he was my accountability partner. He pushed me. He was hard on me, but he was encouraging. And he could tell that I was tall and I was athletic and I loved basketball, and I think he saw a future. So he really encouraged me to do the best I could at every sport. And I played all sports, but basketball, he pushed me hard.
Nice. You won a high school basketball championship, and then it was time to go play at the University of Michigan. Describe for the audience what your mindset was as you got on campus, as well as how your first two seasons went there.
Well, Bruce, I was extremely fortunate and blessed. When I was in high school, I was 6'10". I was an All-American. I was All-State. College coaches came from all over to tell me that I was the key to their future success. I had, you know, little ladies that wanted my autograph. Newspapers and TV cameras were everywhere. I was in a small town. And being a small town hero was very exciting, but it also kind of set me up for failure. And I had no idea what was coming. When I walked onto the campus at the University of Michigan, which was my dream school, I was arrogant and I was overconfident. And I remember walking onto the campus with an attitude like the Messiah has arrived. I'm going to help our team win big. You're going to love my game. This is going to go great. And then a funny thing happened. I didn't play a lot as a freshman. And then my sophomore year, I was having a lot of knee problems. I had double knee surgery.
Oh my gosh.
And sat out for 16 months without any basketball.
Wow.
And I put on 50 pounds from eating that good dorm food and lifting weights. And I have to tell you, I was really sad because I couldn't play basketball. And my NBA dreams seemed like they were shot. I remember Detroit Free Press wrote an article, and they said in the article that the Tim McCormick era at the University of Michigan was a complete failure. And so that was a lot for a 19-year-old kid to take. And I think I was really sad and lonely and depressed and kind of looking for answers.
Wow. And folks, this is rather ironic, especially because it's the University of Michigan. But 10 weeks ago on episode 207, Zoltan Mesko, who you know from his days as a punter in the NFL, he talked about having that same thing happen to him, that he went to the University of Michigan and just assumed that, of course, he was going to be the starter, and he wasn't. If you didn't hear that, go back and listen to episode 207 with Zoltan Mesko. Tim, with all that you just described that you were facing then, what was your faith life looking like at that point in time?
Well, I grew up Catholic, and my faith was very important to me. My parents taught me that as a Catholic, that every Sunday my job was to be in church and to pray and ask forgiveness. And I know that was a real priority in my family. As a matter of fact, I remember one bright spring day, I was anxious to play basketball and run around the yard, and my dad said, "Everybody get in the car. We're going to church." And I told him, I came up with a very devious plan. I said, "Dad, I can't find my church shoes. I can't go to church today." And I was pretty smart for like a 5 or 6 year old. And my dad said, "Well, that's okay. You know, you can go play in the yard. And when we get home from church, I will help you find your shoes and I'll take you back and we'll both go to the 12 o'clock nap together." And so I bolted upstairs and I found my shoes miraculously and attended Mass. But I knew that my faith was something that was front and center in my life, and it was very important to me. At this point in my life, when I was sitting out and I was sad and depressed, I was looking for help. And my whole life I had been in church on Sundays. I felt like I knew God. I prayed every night when I went to bed, but I needed more. And I had a friend of mine that played on the football team that said, "Tim, why don't you come to an FCA meeting?" And I said, I don't know what FCA is. And he shared Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And it was a whole new chapter of my life. I had never really read the Bible. I had never shared my belief with brothers. There was no fellowship in my life. And this really opened up a whole new belief system for me. And I remember in that first meeting, I read my favorite verse, and it's Romans 8:28. "In all things, God works for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." And so that became my focus. And I prayed and I reflected and I wondered, and you know, I kept asking God, what is my purpose? What am I here to do? I have all of this ability. I have this size and I'm not using it. I need help. And so that was a real turning point in my life. And I'm very thankful for that.
Wow. Wow. And folks, there was an unlikely source of inspiration that the Lord sent to Tim. And this is quite a fascinating story and great testimony to how God can and will use some surprising individuals to lead us. I do need to mention, though, audience, that one of you was kind enough to make a gift to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry recently, although two different times I sent back an email not only saying thank you, but asking if I could say the name of the person on an episode of the show so as to publicly acknowledge the kind contribution. Since I have not heard anything back to those two emails, though, I'm assuming that that must mean that you wish to remain anonymous, so I'm going to honor that and hope that you know who you are. The timing is really something, too, because last week when I was talking to Cincinnati Bengals offensive lineman Ted Karras, you heard me say that although the upcoming National Religious Broadcasters Convention is just a stone's throw for me, meaning that it'll be taking place over in Orlando, I was saying back then that the registration alone is $600. And isn't my vehicle currently in the shop right now? And it's looking like the repair bills will total approximately $600. I'm tempted to post pictures of the receipts from the repair shop and Catholic Sports Radio Community Facebook group just to show you the irony here. Anyhow, the relevance is that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that I have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover the expenses that my Catholic Sports Radio ministry faces, and it becomes even more challenging when there's $600 less in your pocket thanks to car repairs, never mind trying to come up with that amount to attend the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Orlando in May. I do hope that all the work that I do through this ministry is helping your faith life, that you're finding benefit, you're enjoying the interviews each week, you're seeing value in what I'm creating through Catholic Sports Radio. To that end, just like the listener who I'm assuming wants to remain anonymous, I would ask you to prayerfully consider making a gift to my ministry as well to help me go to Orlando, to help me with the various costs that I've detailed over a number of episodes of the show, and to say, thanks for what you do, Bruce. I am getting inspired in my faith life by Catholic Sports Radio. As was done by this person whose name I'm not disclosing, you can utilize the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net It's fast, it's easy, it's secure, and it allows you to put in whatever amount you're most comfortable giving. In other words, there's no list of predetermined amounts for you to have to pick from. Alternatively, since some people don't like putting credit card information on the internet, I invite you to contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. With your permission, I will happily say the name of anyone who sends something in, whether through the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net or through the mail. Or, as I'm doing on this episode, you can ask to remain anonymous. We are in Lent, and this is the time in the church year when we hear an emphasis on almsgiving, so it would mean so, so much to me if, as part of your tithing, you would consider helping make it possible for me to attend the NRB convention in Orlando in May, not to mention continue to tackle the various costs that I face. I can't say enough how grateful I am for you listening to the show, telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do and using the mix of faith and sports to move more people closer to our Lord. Tim, go ahead and share with the audience how your story continued as it relates to the way that God moved in your prayers as it relates to getting things on track at the University of Michigan.
Well, Bruce, so the challenge for me was patience, and I had been praying about my purpose, and I waited almost 3 months until I was able to get an answer from God. And I remember Proverbs 16 says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. And I kept thinking about, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. And finally it happened one morning in the spring. I was in my apartment in Ann Arbor and the phone rang and I picked it up. Hello, this is Tim. And at the other end, the voice shocked me. It said, McCormick, this is Bo. Be in my office in 1 hour. And I was thinking, why is Bo Schembechler, the Hall of Fame football coach, calling me? Like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah.
And so Bo was a tough guy. And so I hustled down to his office and had no idea what this meeting was going to be about. And he got right in my face. And he stuck his finger in my chest and told me that I was soft, both mentally and physically. I had no idea what hard work was. Mm. And it was going to change right then and there. And he told me, you're going to go work out with the men on my football team today and tomorrow and every day the rest of the summer. And he just said, get out of here.
Mm.
And so I got out of there. And I walked over to the football building. And really, for the first time, I started to gain hope, and I felt like this was a message from God. And so I went to the football building. We went out onto the practice field, and there were 50 football players getting ready for their summer conditioning program, and one lazy and out of shape and clueless basketball player, that was me. So the strength and conditioning coach told us that we were going to start off and do 40-yard dashes, and I thought, I can do that. That's easy. I do that in just a half of a basketball game. So We lined up and we took off and I started running as fast as I could. It's probably the fastest I've ever run in my life. And I crossed the 40-yard line in 51st place. I was dead last.
Oh my gosh.
I got beat by a guy that was 329 pounds. And so we raced back and then, did it again. And it was just after 10 sprints, I was already exhausted. Mm. And after 20, I couldn't get oxygen into my lungs. And after 30, I'm getting a little bit dizzy. And after 40, I crossed the line, 40 straight sprints in last place. And I fell to the ground and I was gasping for air. But I had finished it and I was done. And that was a good first step. And then I heard the words I didn't want to hear. It was the senior captain. And he yelled out, we've got Notre Dame September 1st. Let's do 10 more. And they all cheered. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't need to play Notre Dame September 1st. I'm going to stay right here on the ground and rest. And that lineman, the 329-pounder, he helped me up and got me back to the line. And somehow I did 10 more.
Mm.
And that was a real turning point for me. And it gave me hope and it gave me confidence. And, I kept thinking about Luke 12, where it says, to whom much is given, much is required. And I had a lot of talent, and now is the time for me to take off and use my gifts. And I did it every day all summer. I did the conditioning workouts and the flexibility workouts and the weightlifting workouts. And by the end of the summer, I had lost 29 pounds. Mm. I was running at linebacker speed, and I was filled with confidence that I was going to be able to make my basketball dreams a reality. And then a year and a half later, I led my Michigan basketball team to an NIT championship. I was MVP. I got an invitation to the Olympic trials.
Wow.
And I was the number 12 pick in the 1984 draft, which many think is the greatest draft of all time with Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon. So it was really a great system. It helped me develop my talent, but more importantly, it developed my faith.
Well, and I do want to fast forward to that point that you just talked about, which is getting drafted number 12 overall behind names like, as you mentioned, Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan. It was also Charles Barkley, Alvin Robertson, among others. God has a way of humbling us, and perhaps you recognized that when the Cleveland Cavaliers drafted and then traded you. Walk us through that, as well as the lesson that we can all take away from that.
Well, I was so excited to be in the NBA. And I went on the NBA's draft show when I was drafted number 12, and I talked about how proud I was, and I'm so excited, and I'm going to help Cleveland turn things around, and Cleveland's only 3 hours from my home, and my family will be able to see me play, and this is so great. And I went back to I was with the U.S. Olympic team at that point, and the guy that told me that I had been traded was Bobby Knight, who was the coach of that team. And he walked into the locker room and he said, you know, I want to congratulate all the guys that got drafted today. And he said, McCormick, you got drafted by Cleveland, but they didn't want you at all. They traded you to Washington. And he started walking out and he stopped and said, by the way, this is a PG version of the story. I don't want to let anybody know the words that Bobby Knight used. But he said, you know, Washington didn't want you either. They traded you to Seattle. Mm. And I was very confused at this point. And he said, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't start playing harder and get in gear, I'm going to trade you to Alaska for some fishing rights. Mm. He's a big fisherman. Obviously, he was joking. But I got traded a lot. I had a lot of injuries. I've had 10 knee surgeries and 2 shoulder surgeries and just all kinds of injuries. And there's trade rumors and, you know, new teammates are coming and going. And it was nonstop adversity. And it's a humbling experience because you're never sure what's next.
Yeah.
And so that's where faith comes in.
Wow. Wow. I want to back up to something that you mentioned in there, because I am just amazed at the way that you persevered through such a long list of injuries throughout your career. Didn't you ever get mad at God and play the why me, what did I do to deserve all this card?
I don't believe that it was a prevailing theme. I know that there were times I was frustrated. When you've had 10 knee surgeries, I think that I got really good at rehab. And I'm not in anybody's Hall of Fame. I never made an all-star game. I never played in a championship. But the thing that I was really good at was just appreciating where I was at. Psalm 118 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And I think that I did a pretty good job of always telling myself that you're in the NBA and you have it made. You know, focus on what you can control and just do the best you can.
Mm. Wow. Wow. You were recently a speaker at the National Shrine of the Little Flower Basilica for an event appropriately titled Live at the Basilica. In fact, you've done just a ton of speaking, including talks for major corporations. And I love that the platform that you've created is NBA, not to mean National Basketball Association, but instead it stands for Never Be Average, which is also the title of a book you wrote.
Yes, it's been a thrill to be able to have a platform to share stories and life lessons and just my faith. I feel really excited, you know, for opportunities like this. I believe that when I tell people I believe in God, that Jesus is at the center of my life, that somewhere God is smiling. He likes that. And so that makes me feel really good about this opportunity. And I thank you, Bruce. It's a great platform.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode to Tim's website so you can get on there and look at all that he's doing. And there's a great video that he has on there of the speaking that he does, and you can see how inspirational and how powerful his talks are in case you are interested in getting in touch with him to book him as a speaker for whatever upcoming event you might have where he can share some of what you're hearing on today's episode. Tim, let's close by having you share about all your time in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as your children and the presence of the Catholic faith in your household.
Yes. So I belong to Our Lady of Refuge Parish. I've raised my son, Kellen, and my daughter, Danielle, to be Catholic. They attended Pontiac Notre Dame Prep High School that really emphasized a faith-filled curriculum. Got a wonderful wife of 33 years, and we're really enjoying The Chosen. That's been a real gift to me. I'm so excited about just watching it and studying it. And I feel like while I have prayed and I've read the Bible and I've got Jesus at the center of my life, it's been such a gift. I'm a visual learner, and to be able to see and imagine the way that Jesus interacts with his disciples and the people he preaches to, that's been a wonderful, wonderful part of my life.
Yeah, amen. I think a lot of us are enjoying using The Chosen as a resource. Tim, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. This has been wonderful. God bless you and your family.
God bless you, Bruce. Thank you.
Thank you. And folks, as a nod to Tim's long career as an athlete, let's close this week's episode with a prayer for athletes and do it, of course, together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood that I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.